All right, Lombardi Line, we welcome you back. Hope you're having a great Sunday. As you say, is it cold? It's cold in here. Michael, what's it like over there, Lombardi Line? I'm trying to figure out, are people trying to get cozy while they're watching Lombardi Line across the nation, or is it starting to warm up a little bit?
The only man that gets cozy is my man Dominic. I get more videos of him telling me how cozy he is watching TV, so it makes my day. It's February here in the Northeast, Patrick. It's never not cold, so we're dealing with it. Even when it says it's like 45 with the wind and the chill and being on the bay, we're on the bay here in Atlantic City, so it's always a little chilly, and it's chilly in this restaurant. You know, it always is.
Sitting on the dock by the bay, Michael Lombardi hanging out at the Borgata. Stop by, say hi. Thomas Gable's going to be joining us. Of course, we're going to be joined by JVT, our senior NBA analyst, in just a couple of minutes. I should mention this. Hey,
yeah.
No worries in New Orleans. Drew Brees is coming back. He was working out yesterday. People were tripping out. I'm sure you saw the video. We'll post a little clip of this. There it is. Good job, Steph. As a crazy workout with the sleds there. Drew Brees seen doing intense workouts here, Michael Lombardi.
Yeah, interesting. You know, he lowered his salary so that basically what he did was typically what most teams do when they want to trigger the June 1. Philadelphia did it with Alshon Jeffrey. A lot of teams are doing it. They know they're going to cut the player as soon as free agency starts. So they lower their paragraph 5. They've got to carry him until June, but they get away from the bonus money. So it helps them in the cap currently. And Drew Brees did that. Now, you know, all indications to me tells that he did that too because he's going to retire. Now, maybe he's going to come back. I don't know how they can afford if he comes back and what's his salary going to be. And do they want, I mean, you know, that's a heavy duty money. It's going to be interesting to see because they're in cap. I mean, they're the team in the worst cap shape of any team.
Yeah.
And if you add his salary into that equation, it becomes even more problematic for them to bring him back. I think they're a team in transition. I don't think that they'll be able to dominate the South as they've done, even though the Bucks won the Super Bowl this year. So it's going to be interesting. If they bring him back, you know, between Brees and Roethlisberger, those two teams who basically are in cap trouble, I don't know if that means a good season for them in 2021.
Yeah, even if he comes back at the minimum, remember, that's not the application to the cap. So he can say, don't pay me, I'm good. It's not the way the cap
works. He's never saying that. Trust me, Drew Brees has never given him a discount. He's never given him a discount his entire time there. They've worked around that. He's always taken the – this is not – you know, everybody wants to be like Brady, but Brady gave legitimate discounts. He gave legitimate discounts to the Patriots, you know. And when you break it down, those discounts allowed Brady to win. I mean, think about this. Don Shula had Dan Marino and went to one Super Bowl.
Yeah. Come around here waving that Groupon, Michael Lombardi.
I'm just happening. Just giving you facts, bro. Just facts. Just you know,
hey,
drag
facts.
That. Facts.
Facts,
man.
F-A-X, bro. I got you covered. Hey, can I ask you a question? Because I just have 20 seconds. Can I get one of them jackets or what? I'll pay for it. I'll pay double for it.
Supposedly, the guy sent me an email this week, said, did everybody get their merchandise? And I said, I don't know. I haven't heard. So you should check
your
mail.
I mean, as soon as I get
outside to check your mailbox.
Okay.
Check
well,
your mailbox.
I'll get outside.
I know it's a dangerous walk out there. I know that.
I'll get outside the bubble. I tell Jeezy on our dog day, look outside. Anybody there? Then I sprint to the mailbox,
you know,
and sprint.
I said that. He said he's tracking the merchandise, so we'll see.
Okay.
Outside. You have to go outside to get it, Patrick.
Okay. I'm going to write that down. Outside is where the mailbox is. When we come back, JVT, inside, right here, VSiN, first action update.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN action update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Nearer to the All-Star break in the NBA season, the odds to win the Atlantic Division belong to the Brooklyn Nets at minus 200, Philadelphia plus 190, Toronto plus 2,000. The Central Division, Milwaukee minus 2,500, Indiana plus 850, the Chicago Bulls plus 3,300. The Dallas Mavericks are the favorites to win the Southwest Division at minus 130, San Antonio plus 260, New Orleans plus 700. The Northwest Division, the Utah Jazz minus 5,000, Denver plus 1,400, Portland plus 1,600. The Pacific Division, the Clippers are favored there, minus 130. The Lakers plus 140. Phoenix Suns at plus 800. The Southeast Division, the Miami Heat, the defending Eastern Conference champs, minus 185. Atlanta plus 375. The favorites to win the Eastern Conference, Brooklyn plus 125, Milwaukee plus 330, Philadelphia plus 550, the West, the Lakers plus 140, Clippers plus 280, the Jazz at plus 350. The Lakers are the favorites to win it all at plus 280.
Get the latest VSIN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cash and tickets is what it's all about.
So Lombardi Line Sunday. Good morning. I got a shout out from Josh because I said Bob Barker earlier. That wasn't because we're talking dogs, but shout out to your dog. You can send him in at VSIN Live as far as getting your picture shown. We welcome you back. Jonathan Von Tobel. So again, remember, all our podcasts are free. They're tremendous. VSIN.com/podcast. Hardwood Handicappers is the new podcast. JVT, our senior NBA analyst. We say hi to a very dapper Jonathan Von Tobel at me JVT. Why don't we start? Good morning, Jonathan. Thank you. Why don't we start with Clippers Bucks? Fun matchup, early matchup. Drew Holiday's back.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this, right? Potential NBA Finals preview. And there's like so much that goes into this matchup, right? And I actually kind of wanted to start with the Clippers defensively because, I've talked about this a lot with a couple of people. Aaron Renning and I were discussing this the other night. This is the Clippers team that I think by all accounts has been kind of disappointing defensively, right? We're not talking about 19th in terms of overall defensive efficiency on the season. You know, if you go through some of their numbers, right? 20th in terms of defending the rim, 64.3% is what they give up within 4 feet of the basket, right? Mid-range, they're actually one of the worst mid-range teams in terms of defensively. But what's really interesting about the Clippers, guys, is if you look a little bit deeper into their numbers, you realize that maybe some of this is, for lack of a better term, bad luck. How about this statistic? The Clippers might be 19th in overall defensive efficiency, but they rank third in frequency of opponent shot attempts in very tight windows, which means defenders within 2 feet or less. 28th, though, in opponent field goal percentage in those shots. So they're getting to their spots. They're defending relatively well, but the shots keep going down. And the best example of that is this two-game set that they just played with Memphis. You watch that first game, every single floater was going down for Memphis. They shot nearly 50% from the mid-range. You come back in the rematch, what happens? They shut them down from that area of the floor. They win going away. So I'm really curious from this standpoint, if the Clippers defensively are what I expected them to be and they're just experiencing some hot shooting on the other side over an extended period of time, or if they really have some massive issues, which we might find out today against the Milwaukee Bucks.
How about the Bucks defensively, JVT? Where are you with them? I know Holiday comes back, but where do you think they will end up defensively?
So, Michael, I think they're kind of what they're going to be better. I should put it that way. They'll be a little bit better than where they're at right now. But here's the thing, right? It's been well documented. They're trying to experiment with a couple more things. They're trying to switch a little bit more defensively. One of the things that they do consistently is play their big man in pick and roll situation. They drop them off. They'll allow some space on screeners. And then, of course, what happens? You give up perimeter shots. And what does that lead to? That leads to you ranking 25th in frequency of opponent attempts from beyond the arc. It allows you to rank 24th or lower in all three major categories in terms of three-point shooting, which is overall non-corner and corner three-point shooting. We know about the issues that Milwaukee has suffered. So I think part of the reason why these numbers have been so extreme is because they are experimenting with some stuff. But regardless, their base defensive scheme is protect the rim and allow perimeter shots. The Clippers don't really attack the rim, and they are the best statistically and percentage-wise three-point shooting team in the NBA at this point. So I still think that that is something that other teams, and tonight, the Los Angeles Clippers, or I shouldn't say tonight, it's in the afternoon, that the Los Angeles Clippers can expose, Michael. So I think, you know, I've had this conversation with a lot of people, like, well, isn't it good that they're trying to change things up? And that's fine, but if you're a guy who is stuck in his scheme, right, if you're Mike Budenholzer, when push comes to shove, are you going to go with the experimental defense you've been trying to set up this entire year? Or are you going to go back to what's comfortable with you? So in the big picture, I think the Bucks are what we thought they were, a team that prioritizes rim defense but still allows perimeter shots.
We had the breaking news here first on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. The Bulls-Raptors postpone COVID. Raptors, we know this. Let's continue with the Washington Wizards. I thought they were a little short yesterday at home, JVT. Four ended up closing, hosting Minnesota. They get on the road. They go up to Boston. Red hot Washington Wiz laying 6.5 on the road in Beantown.
Yeah, and if you look at this, like, it's pretty interesting, Patrick, right? Because everything comes full circle, right? The start of this streak that the Washington Wizards are on started on Valentine's Day at home against the Boston Celtics. They were a 7-point underdog. They won that game in a low-scoring game, but outright as well. But I've documented this before. I've talked about this with you guys before. The Boston Celtics this year on the road have been really poor for whatever reason it is. 6-13 against the spread, 7-12 straight up. But at home, much better. 10-4 against the spread, 9-5 straight up. You look at some of the defensive numbers for them in terms of defensive rating, 7th best defensive rating at TD Garden among home teams this year. This has been a team that, for whatever reason it is, has thrived whenever they play at home. And I think that's why you see this number where it is, about 6.5. And it's a really good example of it, right? You come off of a pretty rough road trip. You lose at New Orleans. You lose at Dallas. You lose at Atlanta. But you come back home and you take care of business against an Indiana team that is relatively overvalued. And we saw a little bit of that last night against the New York Knicks. So I think a lot of people would be surprised to see this number. But I really wouldn't, just considering how good Boston is. What I'm curious about, Patrick, is in the betting guide this year, I wrote about how much I loved Washington, right? I think they didn't, and love is strong. Like, I thought they were going to be the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference. I thought Russell Westbrook, Bradley Beal fit together very well. I thought they were a team that could thrive in transition, thrive offensively. And what are we starting to see over these 8 games? They're starting to do just that, right? Defensively, they're much better than we give them credit for. Right now, over this 8-game stretch, 8th in terms of defensive rating. Are they that good overall? Probably not. And they've taken on some inefficient offenses. But that's where my, I think, pause in playing this game comes. You have a team that's really good at home and the other team that is starting to peak and look more like the team I expected them to be. I would have a slight lean here towards Washington, but the way that Boston has played at home this year has kind of gotten me off of the train, so I'll just sit back and watch.
All right, so let me ask you the question I've asked everybody about the NBA. The way the Wizards are playing right now, if they were hosting Philly on Wednesday night, this Wednesday coming up, they're not. This is hypothetical. What would you set the line and who would you take?
Ooh, if they're hosting the Philadelphia 76ers, the Wizards, I would probably say Philly would be in the range of about 4.5 to 5.5, Michael. And I'd lean a little bit towards taking Washington. Like, I think they're a team that's bombing away from three. They're taking a lot of three-point attempts now that they started to get a little bit healthier. Your 76ers, if you look at them statistically, right around 20th in terms of opponent three-point shooting overall. You know, for whatever reason it is, they have really good wing and perimeter defenders, but they're giving up a lot in terms of percentage. Some of that might be just hot shooting, but that has been a weakness for them. So I would lean towards taking Philly, you know, or excuse me, Washington, because I think Philly, your team's one of those teams, Michael, that is getting the job done from a straight-up perspective, not so much against Cleveland last night. But in terms of their power rating against the number, they seem a little too high.
I agree. That's my point. I think they're way too high. And when you lose to Cleveland at home in overtime, you know, then it really tells me you really are not that good of a team, that you have some flaws, especially, like you said, Boston plays better at home. You know, this Wizard team's starting to play, and we're starting to see more positive numbers come out of Westbrook and Beal on the court at the same time.
Yep, and look, when I was talking about that, I wrote about it in the guide, right? Russell Westbrook is a really good passer. We give him all this flack for hunting for assists, but it's really not the case. He's a very skilled passer. He's a very skilled facilitator. Bradley Beal, last year, even without a really good point guard, over 50% of his field goals were assisted on. He's fantastic off the ball. I think these two fit really well together, and I think we also forget, guys, remember, there's like a 6-game stretch where they too, kind of like Miami, had all these COVID issues. Their roster was ravaged by COVID earlier this year as well. And so then you start to see, right, they start to get things back together. You start to get guys back on the floor. And what happens? Some continuity starts to follow. So I think, you know, Westbrook wasn't healthy at the beginning of the year. And much like some teams earlier this season were quick to toss everything out because the results aren't there, when in reality, this is a weird season. Guys are missing because of an infectious disease. It affects them in terms of their physicality. And sure enough, it takes some time to get back together. And this is a team, by the way, that was constructed in the offseason, not like Miami, who had, of course, a run to the NBA Finals. So I think we're probably starting to see what this team could potentially be.
Senior NBA expert here, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Jonathan Von Tobel. You can check out the podcast, check out the daily write-up at VSiN.com. You mentioned Miami, so let's do that. Atlanta's in town. Miami's on a heater. Miami's laying 6 here, JVT.
So, this is something, there's a couple of teams where I just don't understand, Patrick, what the market really does with them, right? Or what the perception is of this team. Yet another game here in which Atlanta is getting support. This open 6.5 is down to 6. And look, a half-point adjustment isn't that much. Bam Adebayo's on the injury report, but he's listed as probable. Played the other day against Miami. But I just don't understand what the market sees in Atlanta, right? They close as about, 5.5-point favorite the other night against Oklahoma City. Way too high. They end up losing that game outright. Yes, they beat down Boston, but Boston, we've documented their issues on the road. This is an Atlanta team, guys, that in the month of February is 4-10 straight up, 5-9 against the spread in this month. You're talking about a team that ranks right now, in terms of their defensive efficiency, 119.2 points every 100 possessions. They allow the Thunder, who ranked 28th in offensive efficiency, to drop an offensive rating of 121.6 the other day. This is just not a team that I think is very good, and yet the market continues to support them and drive either numbers up or numbers down. And now you get a matchup like this. Miami, yes, the other night we're catching 6.5 against the Utah Jazz. To me, that was an incorrect number, right? This is a Miami team that is, as we kind of documented, starting to become much better, especially now that they're healthy. Go over this 5-game winning streak that they're on. Offensive rating of 115.6, fourth best defensive rating in the league. This is the Miami team that won the Eastern Conference a year ago, or I guess it's now a couple months ago. Everything gets all wrapped up. But I just don't understand why the market really supports this Atlanta team when statistically there's really nothing there for you to like, and especially in a matchup like this where Miami is getting better on both sides of the ball and they're starting to get healthy. So I laid 6 here. Maybe I'll run it wrong and the market drives us down further, but I think this Miami team is starting to take shape, and I am betting on them more often than not because I think the market might be a little behind still.
Yeah, the Miami, the last 10 games, they're 7-3 over that line. They're 3-0 at home. They haven't lost at home, and they've been on the road for most four of those wins. So, what they've been able to accomplish, I think Dunback really helps them a lot, JVT. I think he, along with Butler, finally coming out of that COVID thing that he was in, and Dragic back, it gives them a complete team. Although the last 10 games Miami and Atlanta have played, they are actually 6-4 against the spread, favoring Atlanta. Atlanta's 6-4 against the spread in those 10 games. So maybe that's why, because I'm with you, JVT. I don't always see the number. I don't always get Atlanta. There's so many teams in the NBA that I'm confused about. Atlanta would be in that category.
Yeah, and look, Michael, I've said this before. Sometimes the market just gets it wrong when it comes to the power rating for certain teams, when it comes to the support of certain teams. You go back to the last few games. We're talking about Atlanta. They talked about the 5.5-point spread they closed against Oklahoma City. They were bet up to 8 against Cleveland, a game they lost outright, like the first matchup with Boston, right? Like, there's so many other things we can talk about from a power rating perspective that hasn't really made much sense, closing 1.5 on the road against New York. So I would say, a lot of the times I know people like to look at numbers like, well, this is fishy. Sometimes the betting market's just wrong. We see a lot of examples of that.
JVT, as we continue here on a Sunday with Jonathan Von Tobel, the Phoenix Suns, are you completely in on this team? They're in Minnesota on the second half of a back-to-back loss in Washington yesterday. We'll grab the number. Let's start there. Are you completely in on the Suns, who are laying 10.5 in Minnesota?
So I'm not, and it's funny, we actually talked about this on the podcast this week with Drew Dinsick, is we went through some teams that kind of perplexed us, right? And one of the teams that perplexes me is the Phoenix Suns. They're a team that, Patrick, I had projected when you looked at their personnel in the offseason to not be a team that was going to be this good defensively, right? I thought they had some guys who were relatively poor on-ball defenders, and yet we look at it right now, and they are performing extremely well. I think right now they're 8th in terms of overall offensive efficiency, but we have seen at times the issues that I thought were there kind of pop up, right? Specifically the Charlotte game, where Charlotte comes in, they win that game outright, drop 124 points, extremely smooth in terms of offensive rating. And so you see it from time to time. And you kind of go through some of their opponents during this winning streak that they've been on, and you can kind of look at some of the spots where you're like, okay, you kind of understand what's going on here in terms of playing an Orlando team that has been really inefficient in terms of their offense. Portland, which was really shorthanded, as we know, and in the middle of a really good hot run before Damian Lillard couldn't carry him any farther. So I would say that personally, I'm kind of stubborn in the fact that, look, I don't think this team is as good as their numbers dictate that they are. I think they have kind of been the beneficiary, right, of a relatively soft schedule, but the results are there, so it's not like I'm right. So I want to see what this team looks like in the second half, because I still believe that from a defensive standpoint, their personnel projects to be more like 15th or lower in a defensive efficiency than where they're at right now. But again, take it with a grain of salt, because I haven't had a good read for it.
Jonathan Von Tobel, me, JVT, on Twitter if you want to find him. We still have time for another cap here quickly. Let's do it. Let's go tonight. Charlotte's in Sacramento. Sacramento got back on track, a win and a close cover in Detroit. Sacramento opened 1, and they're laying 1 hosting Charlotte.
Yeah, some spots actually opened as high as 2, and we're starting to see this market come back in the other way. Look, I think this is relatively simple, right? When you look at this from Sacramento standpoint, this is a team that, again, the market has been kind of weird with. They open as a one-point favorite against New York. They close with a one-point underdog. They lose that game. Against Brooklyn a couple of nights ago, right? For some reason, the market bets Brooklyn down from 6.5 to 5.5. Brooklyn carries that one away, especially into the fourth quarter. This is the worst defense statistically in the NBA, guys. This is just not a team that I'm comfortable with laying 1.5, laying 1 point in certain situations. And you look at Charlotte. We've talked about this before. Charlotte is a really solid team. They're very well coached. They shoot the ball extremely well. I think, again, when you look at this Sacramento team, I just think the market, for some reason, whatever it is, tends to overvalue them. Now, maybe at home, laying a short number, this is the spot, but I haven't seen really much from these last few games to make me think that it is enough to look here at back Sacramento. So I took a small piece, small money line, price minus 103 with the Charlotte Hornets tonight.
I'm completely with you. The Kings.
I'm confused, too. I mean, the Kings confuse. There's so many teams that confuse me back and forth with this. You just never really get an idea of where this is going to go. And with the trading deadline so late into March, I don't know really how this is all going to play out. We're going to need a little bit more time. Of course, the season goes into May now, so we'll have that time to handicap these teams. But, JVT, have you looked at the second half of the schedule, and have you handicapped some of the win-loss totals after the second half? Because some of these teams have some really tough road ahead of them.
So I have started to dive in. I will say this, you know, one of the schedules, Michael, that pops out to me, to keep an eye on Toronto. You know, Toronto has a schedule that is much lighter in terms of road games. They already played 20 road games in the first half. In the second half, it's much skewed much more to home, right, in Tampa. But the other part is they have about 14 games against the likes of like Cleveland, Atlanta, Detroit, really some bottom feeders in the second half that they really get to pick on. So I think Toronto's due for a really big second half. I don't know about in terms of the futures market, but they should be able to get off to a really solid start in the second half.
Episode 1, Hardwood Handicappers, is up right now. VSiN.com/podcast. You can find it. JVT, me, JVT, on Twitter. He's our senior NBA analyst here at VSiN. Have a nice Sunday, Jonathan. Thank you.
Thanks, JVT.
Thanks,
always
guys.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Okay,
thank you very much, Jonathan. Appreciate it. When we come back, I'm going to try to make some sense here. Also, have the Bears solved their quarterback issue? That's for Michael Lombardi. That's for you, Marquee Sports Network. We're coming back on a Sunday. Racing fans, it doesn't get better than ExpressBet. Right now, you can match up to $150. It's the best bet out there right now. It's Vegas150 for the code. Visit first.com/bet/Vegas for details. That's st.com/bet/Vegas. Promo code Vegas150. That's ExpressBet. It's the best out there. We welcome you back here on the Lombardi line. We're going to make it. There it is. We'll make it make sense. I see a Benjamin Franklin, and I've got Bears news as far as a quarterback. So let's get through this quickly, Michael Lombardi, then we'll get to the Bears news. Michigan State, Maryland. This is 7 of the last 9 between these two have gone under. Two red hot teams. Turgeon and Izzo are going to be focused on the on defense here. Izzo and Michigan State held Ohio State to 67. Maryland held Rutgers, as you know, to 59. I think 134 is a little inflated here. I thought it was going to be 131. I'll go over 133.5. It's coming down a little bit, Michael.
Well, I mean, Michigan State, obviously, if one of these teams, the pace of Maryland always lends itself to the under. I do think that's really a light under. I really do. I think we're getting carried away with ourselves a little bit. I would be surprised. I mean, that's a 65 to 64, if that's where you think it's going to be, 68 to 65, you're looking at it. I mean, that's kind of right in there. I mean, I think if you think the game's in the 70s, do you, Patrick?
No,
if it gets into the 70s, 70 to 62, that's 132. See, I don't know. I think the games, I think both teams are in their 60s. That's why I think that number is where it is.
Yeah, I think I misspoke. I'm going under the 134, which I bet.
That's right.
133.5 here posted, Michael. Okay, let's continue to ride the Washington wave. I mean, yep, the Wizards are seven and one straight up their last seven. They're seven and one, excuse me, their last eight. They're 7-1 ATS their last eight. Why would we go away from them right now? And Boston is mercurial. I mean, you know this better than anybody. They've just been up and down, up and down. Picked up a win against Indiana on Friday night. JVT mentioned they're better at home. That gives you pause.
They are better at home.
But I like the Wizards here. I'm sorry. Give me the 6.5. I might even dabble with that plus 220 money line.
I think they're playing with great sense of confidence. And, you know, it's a sense that you're going to take a chance. Now, I think the risk here is Boston's a different team at home. Boston knows they're not playing the Wizards with no defense. This will be a more competitive game. So that's where I think you have to be really careful. But I'm with you. I'm going to go with the Wizards, you and Will Hill. The only thing that scared me was JVT's commentary about the Celtics at home.
100%. Quick one here. I don't understand this number. I thought it was going to be 8. It's 6. Miami, 5-0 straight up, 5-0 ATS their last 5. Atlanta's completely overvalued. They want to bet the point guard. I get that. But 6 with the Heat, lay it. Bam's a question mark. I don't care. I'm laying the 6 with the Heat hosting the Hawks today.
Yeah, it's just when you go through the teams and when you watch them play back and forth, the matchup has always favored the Hawks in terms of covering the spread. That's why I think it looks too easy to be true taking the 6. That's the only thing I would caution you on.
That is very fair. Now, this comes by way of the Chicago Sun-Times here on the Lombardi Line. Marquee Sports Network joins us up in Chicago. Well, don't fear because you have a quarterback. His name is Nick Foles. Ryan Pace, he likes to pump up, obviously, his peeps. He said, listen, I respect the way he handled a lot of adversity this year, not just for himself in the quarterback room. He's a leader in that room as a starter or as a backup when he's playing. There were some things, in fairness to him, the offensive line was a little unsettled. The run game wasn't quite what it wanted to be. You can almost see him planting the seed for Chicago fans that Nick Foles is going to be your starter next year.
You know what I wish somebody would do is I wish that they would take the comments that they were making about Mitchell back last August that we predicted that they would make and then run those comments back with these comments today. Like, it's seriously, does anybody not remember what they say? We watched Nick Foles. Nick Foles really struggled. And Ryan's right. The offensive line was horrible. They refused to call any runs. They didn't build it. But part of the reason they were able to have a little bit of a run game was because Trubisky's movement in the pocket allowed them to do that. And he could carry out some play fakes and do this. I think the RPO offense that you have to run with Foles is very challenging. This is what we know about Foles, Patrick. Can't start 16 games, has never started 16 games, is a better reliever than he is a starting pitcher. That's just a fact. If they go down this road with Foles, it could be the end. But look, he has a lot of support in that locker room from the coaches and I'm sure the players, because at least he demonstrates leadership skills that I'm not sure that we've ever seen out of MVP Mitch.
100%. Listen, it's an affordable cap number at 6.7 for Foles. It probably costs them more to get rid of them.
Well, they guarantee it. They can't get away from it. They're not going to be able to get it. You have to say that when you guarantee yourself all that.
That's right. So they're locked in. The propaganda starts with the Bears, Pace, and Nagy. They're coaching. They're GMing for their jobs this season. There's no doubt about that. Where's Thomas Gable? You see him?
He's ready to go, my man. He's all ready for you.
Okay.
Yeah, he's all ready for you. Don't you worry.
He runs the race and sports book at the Borgata in Atlantic City. He joins us next right here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN, we've got you covered. VP50 is the special right now. It's all for under $50. It's $49.99. So what we're going to do is we're going to send you free picks throughout the day, your email inbox. You don't have to do any work. And while we send you free winners, you can become a smarter better with the tools and resources we send along the way. This is a special that goes through March Madness, so you got plenty of time here. Sign up at vsin.com/subscribe. You get the power rankings, all access to vsin.com, and also Point Spread Weekly, which is worth the money itself, just because that is the guide that kind of provides the information and the resources from Wednesday on throughout the weekend. Okay, we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. It's a dog day Sunday. Thomas Gable, he was a little confused. He's getting dog pictures to his phone, I see. TG runs the race and sports book over at the Borgata. You're shaking your head, but it is true. Didn't you just text us that? You're getting dog pictures.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I wasn't understanding what was happening because
you got to pay attention. This show can go in any direction at any time. We can be in Des Moines. We can be with dogs. I mean, it goes anywhere. I mean, it's, you know, when you have a novelist controlling the show, it can create
that. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
It wasn't me.
It could take a spin.
It wasn't me. TG, how you feeling today?
Doing well, doing well. What a day in college basketball yesterday.
It was unbelievable, right?
Wow. Just so many things happening yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, Florida State, big lead on North Carolina. You think they're going to – and then North Carolina comes back. Yep. LSU plays a great first half against Arkansas. Yep. And you think, oh, you know, and then – you know,
how about Kansas and Baylor?
Exactly, yeah. Right.
And so many – the landscape can change so quickly here.
I felt like with Baylor losing it, I think that was good for college basketball because it pushed – there's some vulnerability with the top teams. You know, right now it just looked like Gonzaga was the dominant and Baylor. Those two were going to fight it off. But now we see Michigan.
Michigan is really, and
I think Ohio State today is a huge game for them. I think this is a moment where they need to push themselves up a little bit too.
Yeah.
100% agree with both of you. Villanova, Butler, I think that's the early one. What do we have here as far as the side in total?
Yeah, noon start time here on the East Coast for Villanova-Butler. Villanova laying 11.5 here, total 131 in that game. Villanova coming off two really good defensive performances here in their last two against UConn, holding them to 60 points, and St. John's they held to 58. This was after they got kind of blown out by Creighton there on February 13th, but they've responded. Just a look ahead for them. They have a rematch with Creighton this Wednesday coming up. So big spot for Villanova there. But obviously laying a big number here today to Butler. This was a team that I thought, you know, they looked like a team that kind of given up on the season. They're 7-11 in the Big East play, but then they just upset Seton Hall. So we know they're not a strong offensive team. They play at a slow tempo. Villanova can really play at any pace, though, and they're very efficient. They lead the Big East in three-point shooting, 38.5% for threes, and they shoot them at a really high rate. Over 46% of their possessions ends up in a three-pointer. Villanova really getting hit hard here by the bettors here. Everybody taking Villanova here, at least, and not surprising.
And everybody's taking Villanova on my board, too. They have 91% of the bets. They only have 37% of the tickets. This would qualify for one of those specials. I mean, they have everybody's hitting. That 37% of the tickets contributes to 91% of the money. And yet, it's interesting. The line hasn't moved. Why hasn't it really moved at all with all this Villanova
money? I put this at like a 10.5 point game by power ratings. So Villanova there, I mean, you're laying that extra
point
out.
Half,
so.
Also, Butler banged up, key injuries as well, so that may have something to do with it. Let's continue. Yep. Thomas Gable, our buddy, joining us here. The next one up on the board, this one's a big one, as Michael just mentioned, Iowa, Ohio State. Where's the number? Where's the movement right now?
Yeah, Ohio State laying 3 currently. We opened this with them laying 2. The total has come down from where we opened it. We opened at 160. It's now down to 156.5. Matchup of the number 4, number 9 teams in the country. Ohio State has suffered 2 straight losses to Michigan and Michigan State. Iowa also just lost to Michigan. When these two teams first met in Iowa, Ohio State was down by double digits in the second half in that game, but they got some timely 3-point shooting to come back and win. They have a very balanced offense. Their players, they know their role. They play them to perfection. Iowa, they did lose sophomore forward Jack Nungy to injury during that Michigan game. So he's a key reserve for them. Of course, they still have Luka Garza, certainly the top player in the country. Containing him in the middle, I think, is going to be the key for Ohio State. Ohio State was minus 11 in rebounding margin in their last two losses. So obviously they'll need to do a better job there on the glass today. They also struggled really in transition defense against Michigan State. So it'll be interesting to see, will Iowa come out today and try to run and really push the ball up tempo, see if they can pull something out, much like Michigan State had success against Ohio State the other day in that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, Iowa, but what worries me, Iowa on the road. I mean, you know, over the last 10 games, they're 5-5. They're 3-2 at home against the spread. They're 2-3 on the road against the spread. So to me, whenever they go, I always worry a little bit about them playing away from home. I think this is a huge, huge game for Ohio State. I think this is, yeah. I don't want to call it a Custard game, but I think it's close to it because they have Illinois next week. They've got to win this one here, really, to get them going into the tournament or to the Big Ten tournament feeling good about themselves.
Let's get back on the horse, sure. Thomas, Des Moines special. Let's go.
Des Moines special did not come through yesterday, but
Florida A&M.
Go back through today. We'll be back through it today.
Yep.
Florida A&M laying 7.5 here against South Carolina State. Not Patrick Maher's alma mater there.
Thank you.
Total is 137.5 at the moment. This is the third meeting here in 4 days between these two teams. Three games in 4 days between these two. Florida A&M won the first matchup on Thursday, 75-67. And then yesterday, South Carolina State coming up with their first win of the season overall, not just in the conference, first win of the season, 63-57. They're now 1-16 overall. Florida A&M shot dreadfully yesterday. They only shot 37% from the field. Clearly the better team in the matchup here. They're led by MJ Randolph, who averages 16 points per game and 4.5 assists. They don't shoot particularly well as a team from three, only 30.8% from three, and they're also a poor foul shooting team at 63%. They do play tough defense. They're probably one of the better defensive teams in the conference. What can you say about South Carolina State? They only average 59.5 points per game on 37.5% shooting. So this is just a poor basketball team. We're going to look to lay the points here with Florida A&M. And also take a look at possibly the under here in this.
Oh, a 2-for-1 on the Des Moines special. Thomas Gable feeling spicy on a Sunday. Stop by, selfies, autographs. You know how it works there at the Borgata with Thomas Gable.
Dog pictures. Show me your dog.
Dog pictures. Yeah, keep sending them to TG as well. Thank you, Thomas. We'll talk to you next time. Thank you very much. Okay, we continue. A couple of hockey plays as well. Josh Applebaum, Market Insights. Continue. We're going to run the board. I got a couple of surprises for Michael coming back as well. BetMGM customers, if you're new and the Clippers or Bucks hit a three-pointer today, you're going to win a free $100. It's paid for in free bets. Just go to BetMGM.com. Use the bonus code VEASAN100 and you're hooked up, okay? Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 years or older, located in Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF, Iowa. 1-800-9-WITH-IT, Indiana, Tennessee. Call or text Redline, 800-889-9789. Monday through Friday at noon East, the podcast that you need to listen to drops. That is Market Insights with Josh Applebaum, VSiN.com/podcast. Josh, as we welcome you back, you have a little surprise for Michael here to start. Maybe a draft prop you want to throw at him. I like this. Go for it.
I do. I love throwing these at Michael Lombardi because Michael's so sharp, and maybe we can beat some numbers, get some good numbers before they move as we get closer to the NFL draft. So, Michael, looking at this prop across the market, who will be the first wide receiver selected in the NFL draft? Number one, Ja'Marr Chase. He's a slight favorite here, minus 175. Then you have Devontae Smith, plus 140. So you look at a lot of mock drafts. Some have Chase ahead of Smith. Some have Smith ahead of Chase. Remember, Chase was LSU, lit it up with Burrow. Then he opted out last year. Smith won the Heisman with Alabama. So, Michael, what do you think? Would you lay a minus 175 with Ja'Marr Chase to be the first wide receiver selected? Or do you think Devontae Smith at plus money has a little value?
I think you have to follow the protocols of the draft. And remember, size, speed rules. Size, speed will always rule. And, you know, Ruddy last year went earlier than some of those other receivers. He was smaller, but he was faster. Everybody wants Tyreek Hill. But at the end of the day, if Chase runs the time that everybody thinks he's capable of running, size, speed will rule the day. Because these little guys, you know, Hill's a bigger guy. He plays bigger than his 185 size. He's a track body in the upper body. He's strong. And I think these little guys that are fast have a harder time developing in the NFL. I think Chase will be the first receiver off the board. But that's still too early because we need to see these 40 times come in. But for me, always go size, speed.
Josh Applebaum updates. Let's go market right now. NBA college basketball as well.
Yeah, so Patrick, let's start. We're doing our dog themed. We're taking over Twitter here with all these dog photos. Got a couple of dog moves coming in. Memphis and Cincinnati. It's a 1 o'clock game. We're about an hour and 15 minutes away. You've seen some money come in here on the Cincinnati Bearcats at home. Memphis opened as a 4.5 point favorite on the road. 10 minutes ago, the line dipped down to 4. Now it's going to 3.5, guys. So you're seeing a lot of money come in on the Bearcats. They've won 2 straight. Also keep an eye on the over with this one. It opened 137.5. It's up to 139.5, 140.5 now. Cincinnati's gone over 5 straight games. So both movement toward Cincinnati and toward the over. And then late night, 7 o'clock game, last game of the night. Look at keep an eye on Nevada and Utah State because you look at Nevada, Utah State, these teams just played a couple days ago, and Utah State won 75-72, but they were a 9-point favorite there. Nevada covered that number. Nevada had won a bunch of games in a row, I think 5 or 6 games in a row before that loss. Tonight, they're running it back. Utah State open -8, lines down to 7.5. So like some money is coming in there on Nevada. Keep an eye out for that. And then the NBA guys, just a couple to monitor here. If you like the Clippers, they're contrarian. Public's all over the Bucks. Yet we've seen that line. It opened Bucks around -1.5. It's down to 1 or even a pick 'em here. So line is moving toward the Clippers. If you want to still grab the point, that may leave here soon. So you may want to get it sooner rather than later. And also late night, Michael Lombardi is going to stay up late and sweat this one. The Charlotte Hornets. Keep an eye on the Hornets. This was about a -1, -1.5 at home to the Kings. It's down to 1. That's also going to a pick 'em. So if you see any of these flip, you know, jump the fence where maybe Clippers go to -1 or Hornets go to -1, I think that's going to be more evidence that you need if you want to play these spots. But Clippers and Hornets definitely getting hit here.
And that total's getting bet up as well. Open 238 up to 239 in Sacramento. Why don't we stick with the NBA theme? Michael, I'll start with you. 330 tip your time. Clippers, Bucks. The number, as Josh just mentioned, going to the Clippers. But right now, gosh, I'm actually seeing one book offshore has the Clippers laying 1, but I'm going to give you the Bucks laying 1 hosting the Clippers, Michael.
I'm going to just take a contrarian play here. I think I'll go with the Bucks here only because they're playing at home. They get Holiday back. I just think, to me, this is a national game. I think the Bucks need to show something. I'll go with the favorite here. I'll take the Bucks.
Yeah, I'll go Clippers in this one, guys. Just I like this late move a little bit. I think the Bucks. I think the theme here is Drew Holiday's back, and they're at home. They're going to play well, which very, very well may happen. But I like this little move toward the Clippers. I think if you're getting a good team like the Clips in a point, grab it here. But either way, I would go money line no matter who you like. You'd hate to have a 1-point game and you push if you lay the point.
Totally agree. Let's go Warriors-Lakers. We haven't really touched on that as much as we generally do. There's a Laker tax here in Vegas, a heavily bet team, of course, not too far away from Los Angeles. Lakers open 4. Michael, I'll start with you. It's been bet down to 3, so Warriors getting some love here at the Lakers.
You know, it's always so difficult. Is Schroeder playing? I mean, that's the concern. He played last week. I thought he was really healthy. You know, the Lakers, we know they don't shoot consistently all the time, but when he's on the floor, he's a much better player. The line is moving to the Warriors. I think I'm going to stay with the Lakers here. I think the Lakers can play. They're coming off a rest. I think they'll play much better. They played better last game, so I'll go Lakers.
Yeah, Schroeder is playing. Josh Applebaum.
I'm going to grab the Warriors and the points. I will admit the Lakers are very tough to bet on, bet against. They're just the kind of team where it just I feel like it's really tough to diagnose them. But I do like the fact that the Warriors are having a line move in their favor. Public play the Lakers, but it did open -4 down to -3. I have some system matches here. Not only, you know, Warriors have won a few games in a row, but you look at these short road dogs, 5 or less. They're about 53% this year. And then a short road dog, 5 or less off a win, actually 59% covering the number. So I'll grab the points. You would have really wanted the 4, you know, earlier, but I'll bank on Steph Curry keeping this one close.
Bulls Raptors postponed today due to COVID. I'll keep you updated as that story develops. A number that's flipped, gone through 0. The Knicks open 1. Michael Lombardi, I'll start with you. And now the Pistons are laying 1. Of course, the Knicks coming off this second half of a back-to-back. They won last night to pull to 500, 17-17, but they're, well, actually, we have it, the Knicks here, officially, our number laying 1. I've got a couple of books with the Pistons laying 1. We'll call it a pick 'em.
Yeah, I'll lean Pistons here, Patrick. You know, but this is kind of a gross one to me. You know, you always want to look at maybe the Pistons here as a dog, but it's kind of just a buy low, sell high. You have the Knicks who've won 2 in a row. You have the Pistons who've lost 2 in a row, lost 4 of their last 5. Yet it looks like a public play of the Knicks, and yet the Knicks open around -1. It's down to a pick 'em, or even Patrick, I'm seeing some shops now Pistons -1. So I'll bank on your Detroit Pistons here, money line play, or grab the 1, and we'll see what happens.
Detroit basketball. How about Michael Lombardi, Knicks Pistons? I'll call it a pick 'em, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go Pistons. You know me in this NBA, Patrick. I mean, we're just, you know, this is one of those where we're guessing here. I mean, anybody, you play more than 2 basketball games, you're crazy. You really are. You got a chance. You're nuts if you're trying to play 2 NBA games. Seriously.
Okay, let's go. Let's then flip over to college. We'll go Michigan State, Maryland. We've been talking about
this
game.
There we go. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Maryland is laying 2.5. Michael, we'll start with you.
I like Michigan State. I'm going to go with the hot team. I think they're playing much better. They're playing better. You know, I think the pace will favor it. I think this game at 134, we talked about being on the under. You know, I think that's really where it's going to come in. What's 133 now? It was 134 just a little while ago. So I like Michigan State here.
I'm with Michael on this one, guys. Looking at Sparty here, opening at 3, down to 2.5, grabbing the points. And just a quick commentary. I think Michael is totally right. NBA is difficult. It's very volatile. Then you look at college, I think these moves are a little clearer to spot sharp money. It's kind of like a reversal what we saw with the NFL and college football. It seemed like NFL, a lot of these sharp moves did very well. College football was really difficult. So it's kind of what those weird COVID years. It's very similar to me, Michael, in terms of, you know, NFL and college basketball being better, but yet NBA and college football being much more difficult.
I couldn't agree more, Josh. I think it's so unpredictable in the NBA. I mean, you just don't know. And I think if you have a feel for a game, do it. But if you're trying to play 3 or 4 games, I mean, Will Hill's got 4 games today. And if he goes 3-1, he's going to have a hell of a day. And that's going to be hard to go 3-1. I hope he does.
Okay, how about Iowa, Ohio State, 2 teams coming off losses. Ohio State, Michael, right now is laying 2.5 hosting Iowa.
You know, I like Ohio State here. I think this will be their moment. I think they're playing at home. They need to play better. They got Illinois down the road. Iowa without one of their best players on the court. I know Garza's really a good player. I'm going to go Ohio State here.
Patrick, I'm with Michael on this one. Give me the Buckeyes. You know, this line did open -2. The kind of the little scary thing, if you like Ohio State, this line did just drop, guys. You know, an hour ago it was up to 3.5 or 4. It's now down to 2.5. Looks like you had a little money come in. Iowa, you know, +4, +3.5, +3. But I'm okay with that. We have this Big Ten home favorite money line opportunity here, 73%. So I'm going to go money line Ohio State, just win the game.
Okay, nobody wanted the dog Iowa today, but we wanted dogs, and you sent them at VSiN Live, and Steph's got a little picture here for you. We're going to throw it up, the dog of the day. So there you see it. That Luck. Clip it. You know what? I can't fade Luck. Luck picked the Clippers +2. That's from Pet.
I love it.
On Twitter. How about that, Michael? Clippers +2.
That's a great one. That's awesome.
Now that Luck's behind it. How about Chester? Chester likes Kyle Larson +115 over Chase Elliott. A little matchup there in NASCAR, Josh. What do you think?
I love it.
Oh, I love it. And if we can go back to that other dog is sharp. They beat the closing line. They jumped on Clippers at +2. That line isn't even around anymore. Listen, so good job.
Everybody knows that Luck is a sharp NBA bettor. We still got another one I think we're going to throw up here. There goes Chester, who's into NASCAR. Shocker, everybody. That's typical Chester. Here comes Butler.
Oh, Butler plus 11. Yeah, I like it.
Catching 11. Those two dogs are watching the show there, Michael. They're big Lombardi.
Enjoying it. I love it. Yeah, absolutely. There we go. It's paw. There's nothing better than that. I'm sure they just got back from a walk. Exhausting. There we go.
All right. We got one more before we get out of here. Dog of the day. Oh, Lucy. Lucy's all over the Whiz. Loves the heater. The Whiz are on money line.
How about Lucy on the money line to boot? Oh, there you go. Love it, Luce. There you go. Show some guts. You're like an Eagle fan. You don't need those points.
Lucy's got more gear than Michael and I do. She's got a Veasan shirt on. I like that.
I love it. Absolutely.
All right, Michael, have a great Sunday.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy your day. Patrick. Thanks,
okay,
Steph.
Thank you.
Thanks, Josh.
Josh Applebaum, enjoy the Sunday. Get a dog.
Thanks, guys.
Get a
Good
dog
luck.
For next week, or you're not invited. We'll see you. Wes Reynolds and Adam Candy coming up next, the pregame show. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Lombardi Line.